thanks a lot for tuning into the new Strat-O-Matic podcast. I'm your host, Steve Ryder. I had planned on coming out with a podcast in mid-September to talk about basketball, hockey, whatever, but I just never was able to get a guest lined up, and things in my life kind of popped up, and I got to thinking, well, if I can't do one till the beginning of October, who would be a home run guest? And I've got the man himself, the founder, the president of Strat-O-Matic, on the phone with me, Mr. Hal Richman. I figure, well, if I'm going to swing for the fences, I'm going for it all. And Hal, thank you. Thank you for coming on the podcast. This is awesome.
Well, thank you for inviting me. I appreciate it.
All right. So on Thursday, I put it up on the forum that I was going to be interviewing you. I put it up in three different places on the forum, and I got about 8 pages of questions in just the 2.5 days since I put that up there. A lot of people have questions for you. And so I figured rather than me interviewing you, I wanted to kind of take some of those forum questions and pose them to you. So are you ready to do this?
Yes, I'll do the best I can. I might not be able to answer all of them, but I'll answer what I can.
All right. Number one, Board Gamer on the forum asked, will you finally admit after all these years you've been bumping up Derek Jeter's defense ratings?
On the contrary. You must remember that Jeter has won the Gold Glove consistently, and we usually honor that with a one. Not always, but usually with a one. Eventually, we split his rating with the errors and made it a two, I believe, at one point, and a very fine error rating. And then we dropped him to a three, I believe, last year. So no, we're very much on top of Jeter. The problem is the Gold Glove. That's the problem, and they continue to praise him and rate him as a top fielding shortstop in the American League, and so that's the problem. People think we're in New York and Jeter plays for the Yankees, but on the contrary, we get information on all the teams obviously quite a bit, but on New York we get the Yankees, we get quite a bit of information, more so than the vast majority of teams. So our ratings on the Yanks are usually right on or more stringent than maybe they should be. So we're not giving the Yankees any breaks.
So there are times where you disagree with a player that gets a Gold Glove.
Yes. Yes, yeah. So there is, and we try to it particularly has a good error rating. We will give him a two with that error rating, which is close to a one.
Yeah.
In Jeter's case, I think we did give him a three last year. I'm not sure. I don't have my the figures in front of me here, but he certainly was not a one. And he takes a lot of what it comes down to. It has to do with the Bill James methods. The metric methods. Mm-hmm. He shows up terribly in those methods. And he usually finishes pretty much down in the second half of the ratings, and that's why people keep on coming at us saying, "Well, he should be much worse than that." But then you have the Gold Glove ratings, and they're coming up with he's the best. So it's always we've spent a lot of time on Jeter in those meetings. Training, I feel I can say.
I can tell. Board Gamer is an anti Yankee. Gordy56 asked this question, who does Hal consider to be the greatest NFL quarterback of all time?
Well, that's a very difficult question, and I think if you ask 20 people, you might get 20 different answers.
But he's asking you.
I know, he's asking me, and my answer would be Dan Marino. Because Dan Marino played on teams with terrible running abilities. The defense was keying on a pass all the time. They knew that's what Miami was going to do. Mm-hmm. So I always liked Marino. But you can make cases for Brady and the rest of them. Manning and all of them. I mean, but I do like Marino.
Dennis Crowley, my buddy, asked, Hal, have you ever overruled a player rating for the football game?
Well, up until at this time, up until about 3 or 4 years ago, maybe 5 years ago. I did all the ratings.
Mm-hmm.
And there was, you know, then we'd have a coffee clutch on them, and then people would challenge some of them, and that's what would happen. Now I don't do the ratings anymore, and I'm not up on my reading like I was, obviously. I'm not, right in the middle of it all anymore. As far as football ratings go, probably I did do it a few times. I can't remember offhand who it was. But, you know, normally Glenn Guzzo now is the man responsible for the football ratings, just about in total, and he's pretty good at it. And so, there have been times where he's called me and discussed ratings with me. But I don't remember overruling him. If I did, it was once or twice.
Well, speaking of the ratings, you doing the ratings 5 years ago, I remember reading in Stratomatic Fanatics, which is available on Stratomatic.com. I remember reading in there that you guys would have these roundtable discussions about baseball ratings. Does the game company still do that for baseball?
Yes, we do that. Yes, baseball ratings because baseball is such a each player is out there defensively or running the bases independently of everything else.
Yeah.
Whereas in football and basketball, they're always dependent upon teammates.
Yes.
And so baseball is the sport that we do a coffee clutch each year on each league, the two leagues, one day of the American League, the next day of the National League.
Mm-hmm.
And it's we can get into, it's very funny, sometimes we get into major arguments about players who are computer players, not even board players, you know, they don't even have cards for them. That's happened on many occasions, the computer players. And then, of course, there are certain major situations that come up, like Cheetah, or like Alex Rodriguez, when he was playing shortstop.
Yeah.
So we could have well over an hour, 2 hours on a player. It has happened. You know, normally the ratings are submitted by now they're submitted by Glenn Guzzo and Len Schwartz. Glenn actually takes Lenny's input from all the work he has done,
yeah,
and all the reading he has done. And then we have ratings coming in from people who watch the games. We have statistical ratings also. We use John DeWan's service. And we have ratings from other areas. So we go over the box scores too to get the ratings. So we have all these different ratings coming in for a player. And then it's like a diving contest. And you say, you know, like having diving, you might have five or seven judges, and they throw away the extremes. And we do the same thing.
During the 50th anniversary celebration, there was a documentary team out there recording for a documentary about Stratomatic. I know that's still in the works. Have they recorded any of those roundtable discussions?
They did.
Oh, sweet.
They did. Yeah.
Sweet.
They recorded everything.
That is cool.
They have over 100 hours of, but how much of it will be in the, in the movie, in the documentary, I don't know. It's only going to be in about an hour and 20-minute documentary,
yeah,
or an hour and a half at the most.
But getting to see that stuff is going to be a great window for Strato fans to be able to see into what goes into it.
Yeah, well, a lot goes into those ratings. I mean, we do a tremendous amount of reading, you know, and we look in and we use the statistics the statistics behind the statistics, and then we have the box score analysis is also very important, you know, who comes in defensively, that's very important, and there must be about seven or eight different ratings for each player for one position, you know, it's really something.
All right, CRW asks, when you're in Chicago, where do you go for pizza?
I've been to Chicago twice in my life. I know it has great pizza. Once was for a wedding and once visiting friends.
Yeah.
And we didn't have the opportunity to go to a pizza place. I do love pizza, though, and, I eat a lot of pizza maybe once a week.
Well,
I enjoy pizza.
Let me ask you this. For a Strat fan who wants to go out to New York, Where do you recommend is the best place to go eat out there, both pizza and just in general?
Well, pizza, I used to eat at a place called Frank's in Port Washington, and now in New York there's a place called Rizzo's I eat at. As far as good food, I mean, it depends, you know, it depends how much money you want to spend, what kind of food you like. It's really hard to say what the best restaurant in New York is, you know. I mean, there's so many
places.
And there are also some of them very expensive. So
yes.
Maybe some of them are out of sight. You really can't go to them, you know, other than for a very, you know, an occasion. But I really can't really make a comment on that. There's just too many restaurants.
All right. Tommy Nobis asked, tell us what it's like to have worked with Steve Barkin over the last 44 years. Steve's a crack-up. Steve, I love Steve.
He came to us as an 18-year-old or a 17-year-old. I just got out of high school, I think, and as I remember. And he felt he would only be there for one summer, as I remember. But he turned out to be there about 44 years right now, pretty close to it. Steve, you know, he has a lot of things he does.
Yeah.
And he does many of them well. And, you know, particularly his box score analysis of going on the old-timer seasons, he's really terrific at that. And mm-hmm. He's probably the best in the country at that. And he's done so much of it. And, you know, he's been, whenever the chips are down, I know I can count on him. And, you know, and he's a bulwark. November when we start the baseball stuff, you know, on October 20th actually we start that, and he's, you know, he's right in there with pitching in there, getting all the statistics ready for us and all everything. So he's been a very important guy, and he also, you know, he has over the past conversed with the public, you know, and so a lot of people know him.
Yeah. All right. 74 Dodgers asked, boxers or briefs?
Briefs.
Easy. All right. Doc Jambo, Mr. Frank Renbarker, has Hal ever played any of the computer games using NetPlay over the internet? Do you ever play against people?
No, you know, I've not done that. You must remember, with Stratomatic, I'm involved with it. So many hours each week. I used to work, you know, I'm not working the hours anymore. I'm working only 15 to 20 now.
Yeah.
I'm 76 years old now. But when I was, you know, up until my late 60s, I was working an average week of about 60 hours.
Yeah.
And then, you know, during the baseball season, starting October 20th, I'd work every day till December 8th. You know, it was a killer. Glenn does that now. And football did the same thing. You know, it was really rigorous. So when I would come home, I really didn't have time to play games. I was, you know, I was bushed, and, you know, and I had, you know, had my fill of Stratomatic,
yeah.
You know, so to speak.
Yeah.
So I never played the computer game net play wise.
All right. Jay Graffy asked, has the company gained a positive bump from the 61-hour baseball board game marathon, and any sort of lingering interests? Has there been any sort of lingering interest with the Guinness record?
Well, we just got the official statement for Guinness that where we've been sanctioned. You know, you perform this task, which was 61 hours of breaking the record, and they gave it their approval. We had to submit a lot of information on it. We just got it a few days ago. It's very hard to pinpoint marketing. Exactly, how it helps you. Very hard to do that, you know, because we're not making any sales there. It's all putting the name in front of the public and getting a lot of advertising. So, but I think I think it was a positive thing. We had two wonderful young men who played that game and how they did it. In fact, if we hadn't run out of witnesses, they would have kept on going, which they could have probably gone another 7-8 hours. But we had no witnesses left.
Wow.
It was great.
Wow.
And, you know, I can't say enough for them. And, you know, so it's hard to pinpoint something like that. I believe it helped us.
That's cool. John Duff asked, if you get the same enjoyment out of making the game that all of us seem to get out of playing it.
Well, in creating the game, if you mean the initial creating of the game.
Yeah.
Those are some of the most exciting moments of my life, to be honest with you. It, you know, when you get something and all of a sudden, you know, for instance, when I came up with the three dice idea, I mean, that was just, you know, from nowhere. And it was just a terrific thing. And I can't, it's just, you know, like a light lights up and you're really, it's overwhelming. And, you know, I used to get up in the night sometimes with an idea about the game. And then I look at it in the morning and the idea was outrageously wrong, but, you know, but it sounded good at night. But, you know, sometimes the ideas are good at night, you know, and some of them really worked. And, you know, by testing the games, and I'm talking about the board games now. I had nothing to do with the computer games. That was Bob Winbury's area.
Yeah.
The board games, I it was really play and revise, and that's what we did, and it was very exciting to do that. As far as making up the cards go, that was exciting too. It's very exciting to create ratings. It really is, and you know, a lot of people are looking over your shoulder, so to speak, when the ratings come out, and that makes it more exciting also. And the actual card making also I found very enthralling.
All right. Kansas Cliff asked a long question. I'll kind of summarize it really quick. Essentially, in 2007, New York Times posted an article that Strat-O-Matic was looking towards bringing in an investor to either buy the company or buy a portion of it. As far as I know, there wasn't any sort of announcement since then. I know a couple people have asked what happened. What happened, Hal?
Well, we needed more capital to do more. You know, we're doing a lot of things computer wise, and they're very costly.
Yeah.
Bringing in outside programmers in addition to Bob Winbury, who's a tremendous programmer, and we did bring in investors in, individual investors. A handful of five or six, and in most cases they were Strat-O-Matic fanatics in the past.
Yeah,
and so they bought about 13-15% of the company. The rest of the company I still own with my son, and you know, so it was a small investment situation, but it was helpful for us as far as liquidity went.
Finally, NFL Ed Barrow asked, Hal, where do you see the company going in 10 to 20 years?
Well, that's a heck of a tough question. We're trying to, with the board games, really, I think they're pretty much set. You know, is it possible that a soccer game might come up in the future? Yes, if soccer becomes a nationally ranked sport where the entire nation is involved, not just certain groups of people.
Mm-hmm.
And heroes are developed. It would have to take that, you know, for soccer to become a game for us to create. Other than that, I don't know of any other American sports that we would do anything with at this time. But you never know. Things do change. From the computer point of view, we hope to go on other types of, you know, media, you know, iPhones, things like that. We're shooting for all that eventually. And the online game has tremendous potential for us. We're just starting working on a football game, the online game. It's a few years off probably, but we are starting on it.
Very cool. Hal, back when I was planning this, I asked Adam Rosen if there was anything in particular that's kind of going on, that's in the works over at Strat-O headquarters, that you would like to talk about, tease, spotlight, maybe even announce.
Well, we're going to have, you know, obviously one old-timer season coming out. It'll be prior to World War II. That's all I can say about it. It'll be a 16-team league. And there could be another season, too, a reprint, but brought up to date. We're not 100% sure on that yet. We're still debating it. Those are the things. You know, we're working a lot of things in the computer area. You know, we've just come out with the hockey interface, and we're going to be coming out with a basketball interface. And we're doing a lot of things in that area, you know, quite a bit. We're very busy in that area. And so that's about all I can say about that.
And there's something on the website about a Strat-O YouTube page?
Yes, you can submit little bits about Stratomatic, as long as the name is in there, and it's about Stratomatic, and we're going to give an award out to the best little film or documentary, whatever you want to call it. And it could be anything about Stratomatic, as long as it doesn't violate any of the few rules that we have there, which are listed on the website. And it should be a lot of fun. You can make something very funny about Stratomatic or very serious. You know, it's with pictures and everything of yourself playing it or whatever. And, a lot of creativity can be utilized here for Stratomatic.
And then Baseball Express is going to be available from Stratomatic coming up?
Yeah, Baseball Express will be available directly from Stratomatic beginning in November.
Now, talk a little bit about Baseball Express, because as a dad of an 8-year-old, this kind of interests me a little bit. So for those that aren't familiar with Baseball Express, what is it?
Baseball Express is a very much a watered-down version of our basic game. We've eliminated the fieldings, which was something that is a little more difficult for the younger kids. And it's very easy to play. I mean, it's very simple to play. And we tested it pretty heavily on 8-9-year-olds, and it went over very well. And it can be played by 7-year-olds who know their baseball and by 10 or 11-year-olds if necessary. It's a lot of fun. It's a quick-playing game. I guess the best way to describe it is the watered-down version of the basic game. There are 42 players, I guess you could say they're like all-star-like players in the game. It's a very reasonable price, $9.99 plus freight. And it's a great game for kids. It's a wonderful game for youngsters for a lot of reasons. It helps if they're baseball fans, it's terrific for that. And more importantly, it's great for their math ability, because they don't realize it, but they're dealing with math all the time with the game.
Yep.
You know, and probabilities in math. I mean, for instance, you want to steal a base, and they look at this, the man's an ace stealer, and they see, say, 1 to 15, and they have to say that an out is 16 to 20, and they have to say, 1 to 15, that's a pretty good chance, and they don't know it's 75-25, but they can see that it's a much larger chance, and they go for it in most cases. So it helps them in that way. It really helps them in dealing with numbers and being more comfortable with numbers, which is very important. And so the game serves an educational point of view, and of course it serves a wonderful baseball. It's a wonderful baseball experience. It's a great game for father and son to play.
And when is that going to be available on the website?
On the website, November.
In November, so be sure to go to stratomatic.com and look for that. Hal, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. This has been fun.
It has been fun with both of us, and I appreciate you calling me in on this.
All right. If you're open to this, would you mind doing this again in a few months?
Well, we could do it again. I'm not sure about a few months, but we'll squeeze it in.
Thank you.
We'll definitely do it again.
Thank you, Hal. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Bye, Steve.
And again, be sure to check Stratomatic.com in November for Baseball Express. Go look in the announcements section for that YouTube page. And for those of you that are like Mike Payne and don't know about Strat's history, about how he came up with the game, Glenn Guzzo has written an incredible book. I absolutely love it, called Stratomatic Fanatics. Go to the shop section on Stratomatic.com and click Other Items. You'll see the book right there at the top, Stratomatic Fanatics by Glenn Guzzo. I can't recommend this book highly enough. Very, very cool. Lots of great stories about celebrities that grew up that played Strato, stories of normal people like us that played Strato. And so, yeah, go to Stratomatic.com, pick that book up. This episode of the Stratomatic Podcast is a Right Turn Media production. I'm your host, Steve Ryder. Email me with any comments or suggested topics, commish@HerculeanFootball.com. That's commish@HerculeanFootball.com. By the way, with college football and NFL in full swing, my two favorite sports, maybe you're thinking about a football league. Well, I've got a league for you that you need to check out. It's the Herculean Football Association. I run it. And you can check it out at HerculeanFootball.com. It's HerculeanFootball.com. Basically, we draft college players and use the college league as a farm system for the pro league. We've got a great group of owners in this thing, And we've got some openings. We want to start drafting in a couple months, so now's the time to join, especially considering that we're looking into tweaking a few things about the league. Like one thing, I'm probably going to be redistributing a lot of my talent to bring in some new owners. So again, now is the time to check this out, HerculeanFootball.com, or you can email me at commish@HerculeanFootball.com. Thanks everyone for listening, and I hope you tune into the next Stratomatic podcast.